When we get to the bottom, we go back to the top of the slide, and we turn and we go for a ride, and we get to the bottom, and it's Wednesday night, and here we are to see you again, Bass Galaxy. I'm your host, Pat Remwick. Welcome to Stray Cass. Hello. This is the glorified version of a bass fishing talk show. Yes, it sure is. It sure is, and it's Wednesday night, and we're feeling all right. We're excited, if you can't tell. And the reason we are so excited is we welcome back, not only, I have to get used to saying this, not only legend of the game, of sport, of bass fishing, but also brand new 2023 Bassmaster Elite competitor, Larry Nixon. Yes. Larry's on. Mr. Nixon. Bass Fishing Hall of Fame. Classic winner, AOY. Unreal. Unreal. That's Larry Nixon coming aboard the crazy train tonight. We're excited. We're excited about it. And then, quite possibly, if we can have it from a deer camp at an undisclosed location, one of Larry's very dear friends. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Hey, 23 starting out in a bang for SCTV in the Bass and Galaxy. Keep it rolling. Amazing job, Brad Leitner and Jamie Bruce on Into the Great Wide Opens. We loved it. We loved it with inaugural guest Benny Milliken. Well received by the Bass Galaxy. In-depth, nitty-gritty coverage of the Bassmaster Opens 2023. So that should be pretty cool. I'm looking forward to the rest of that as the season progresses. I think they're working on Ish Ginge for their next guest. Ish Monroe is coming aboard.
That's correct.
Our BD Bobby Lane, might be Big Bass Bobby Lane coming. I don't know, but it's going to be fun. I know that. And spoke with Nolan Miner today, and he's getting ready for the Yak Attack. The Pedal Pirates is coming too. So give it up for those guys. Can't wait to see the progression of the new shows on SCTV. Produced by the one and only, ladies and gentlemen, while we're at it, give it up for the best rootin' tootin' producer in the game of bass fishing talk shows. It's Andrew Ellenberger. He's a ginger ninja.
Sometimes.
He's got laser guns. He's got lasers.
What's up, Pat? What's up, Bass Galaxy?
I feel good, Ginge. Yeah. It's Larry Nixon. Everybody,
it's awesome.
Everybody knows that fish catch.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Look at the size of that bass. Everybody knows it. 88 megabucks. And like
three
every
in a row,
bass,
right?
Dude, come on. It's worldwide, that deal right there.
Yes.
And we're so happy to have Larry Nixon on the show tonight as well as in the elites. I can't wait to watch him in Clunk.
That's
all right, I'm talking too
wild.
Much. That's what I do. All right.
Bye.
Ginger, I got to get to this. Hey, Bass Galaxy, that's Ginger Ninja, and he catches fish. In case you don't know, where are you going with that? I liked it. Yeah. I feel slices, dices, and even catches mice's infomercial stuff coming aboard. Hey, it's 2023. Check it out. He's Andrew Ellenberger, and he's a ginger ninja. And he's all signed up on the Half a Spot Official World Champ app. Ginge, where are you going to go fish? Where are you going?
Well, I mean,
you going ice fishing at your home pond?
There's no ice. It's
amazing.
Know.
What happened?
I think it's summer out there.
Something happened. Hello, spring.
Yeah.
I'm going to smash them tomorrow. But anyway, Ginge, on the worldwide Half a Spot app, it's as simple as downloading the Half a Spot app on your smartphone. All right?
Easy.
And then you go to the online apps, Kayak, Bank, Shore, or Kayak, Bank, Boat. Hey, they got you covered on every single one of them. Half a Spot Official, download the app, check him out on Instagram, halfspotofficial.com. Ginge, the 2023 Elites, as we know, are right around the corner.
A month away.
I can't wait. I'm going to be there for the first two events.
That's awesome.
Yes, I can't wait. Hey, get this. All right. So, you know the good people over at Omnia Fishing, omniafishing.com.
Of course,
the coolest place on the interwebs to buy fishing tackle these days. They have a cool thing on there, Ginge, besides fishing tackle, and it's Lake Reports. Now, get this. They have a breakdown of every lake for the 23 season from Omnia, from ambassadors all over the country to those specific lakes. So, like, okay, They're going to St. Clair. They got some ambassadors over in Detroit. You know what I mean? I seen you sneaking on there, ordering baits from Detroit on that deal.
Easy.
Stop. All right. Stop that. But yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, I was fishing around, for lack of a better term, and I liked it. Some great reports from the ambassadors of Omnia Fishing. If you want to become an ambassador, all you got to do is sign up. You can give lake reports to omniafishing.com. Ginge?
Yes?
Tell me what you love about Sims clothing. I'm putting you on the spot.
Everything.
Yeah. How comfortable do you actually feel in Sims?
Like Han Solo.
Yeah, it is.
It is, seriously,
I'm going to hold
no
this.
No bullshit.
If you see what I'm wearing right now, like, I'm going to stand up, I guess, for the audience at home. And I have the Sims Challenger pants and the Sims Challenger hoodie. And I'm going to hold up this Han Solo action figure. And I want you to see how it pretty much looks like Han Solo is wearing the same thing that you and I are, Andy, but he's got it in khaki in the in that. So, I mean, hey, dude, Sims is for Jedi warriors and intergalactic planetary bass galaxy
for every season
propers. All right. Hey, keeping at it, I'm going to Florida, Ginge. I'm going to Florida Bassin with Seth and Matthew soon.
Got a gator tail worm?
Well, I really should. I hope Larry's got some. I don't have any ditto gale tail worms left. But you know what? I got some crash crawls.
Yeah?
I got them in the June bug. And then I got them on half June bug, half like a green pumpkin with the... it's kind of like that Ike color.
The goat?
Know? Yeah, it's kind of like that, but it's more June buggy.
Okay.
Yeah, and man, I can't wait to punch that deal. You know what I mean? I don't know. It looks like a good one, and I'm gonna biffle it.
Yeah.
But when I biffle it, I'm gonna soak it in the Mac scent, but not in the mats. We don't need that. Hey, I'm very sorry. I'm a complete jerk, and I gotta tell you why. All right? No, hear me out. All right. And it's not just me, and I'm not naming names. But I was talking to the one of the sweetest women in the world today on the phone. And that's Darlene Weidler.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And our circle of friends, like, seriously thought their name was Weidler. And she says to me, Pat, I got to let you know, it's Weidler. Now, hey, we apologize. It's the Darlene and Bill Weidler Impulse Lithium Battery Company. And they got an amazing special coming out in honor of bringing Seth Fighter to the team. So keep your eye out for them. Bill and Darlene. What's their last name, Ginge?
Weidler.
It's Weidler.
I know.
Do you say Smith or do you say Smythe?
Potato.
Potato. It's Bassin to me. Hey, speaking of Bassin... all the good stuff going on over at Alpha Angler Fishing. Ginge, you got a taste. You tasted blood with the new Alpha Vader. Tell me.
Probably the best jig rod you'll ever grab.
Really?
Yeah. It's that.
Wow.
It's
strong
that
testimony.
It really is. It truly is.
Holy cow.
That high mod that they put on, it's something.
And you're no stranger to throwing a jig around.
No.
For real, bud.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It blew me away.
Okay. And that's the Alpha Angler Vader. Do they have those now? Do you know? I mean, I'm asking. I don't
it's
know.
In
this.
And out. As soon as Pops puts that on there, they're gone that fast.
That's what I'm saying.
So be on the lookout. When they announce that they're there, go grab it.
Yeah, it's worth it,
as you
huh?
can.
All right. That's the... I don't have one yet. I'm jelly of you. That's why I'm asking. I can't talk about it.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know, man. All right. So where am I at, Ginge?
Hold on.
What am I doing?
You know.
Oh, like and share.
Yeah, like and share.
Like and share. Okay, I gotcha. Hey, first off, again this week, in honor of bringing the general, Larry Nixon, to the show, Power Pole is stepping up again. Yeah. Give it up, Bass Galaxy, for Power Pole. That's right. All you got to do is like and share the live Facebook feed, and you have the opportunity to win a Power Pole swag bag. Not a whole pole. I tried to get the Bass Galaxy whole set. I couldn't do it. Well, not that persuasive. And you know who else is giving it away now? It's a Whiskey Gypsy from Tin Cup Whiskey. It's the official whiskey.
On.
Yeah, it's official whiskey of Bassin. It's a mountain whiskey, and you are a mountain whiskey Bassin Gypsy, I guess. It's Luke Foley. Give it up. Ha-chow. You want to practice karate in the garage later, Luke?
Sure. Okay. Sure.
Cool. Excellent.
How you doing?
I'm doing great, bud.
How's everyone?
We're doing great. The general's coming on.
Yeah.
And not the car insurance guy. Not that one. Not go to the general and get online, save some insurance, and have some time or whatever. Have a time.
The general.
I don't know. Maybe the people general. Across the country don't know what the hell that is. Maybe the general's not a thing. But we're talking about Larry Nixon.
Yes.
Yes. But, man, it's good to see you, bud. How are you doing?
Good, good. All this mild weather's got me getting the bug to go out and fish some, but I just hadn't had a chance to do it yet. But I bet you can go out and catch one right now.
Has it got you hankering?
Oh, yeah.
You got
oh,
the hankering? Yeah. You got the fever? You got the fever for more tin cup whiskey, more cowbell and bassin?
More cowbell. Yeah, Uncle Denny sent me a text about 2 hours ago.
Me too.
He said he needed to come down. And
he caught a bacon.
Yeah.
He said they're ripe. He said they're ripe.
I think I'm going to go down there in February.
Yeah, me too. I'll be there in February as well. Let's arrange this simultaneously together. What that means.
All right.
You know what I mean?
All right.
Let's parallel our universes.
Sounds good, man.
You picking up what I'm putting down?
I am picking it up.
Nice. Foles, it's awesome to have you here again. You're missing your better half, aren't you?
Yeah, she's working over at her house tonight, cleaning some stuff up. So she lost track of time. She was planning on being here.
Is that signal for Luke, I need my space tonight?
It could be, but you know, that just means I just get to sit back and listen to the general and drink, and I'm fine with that.
Okay, and soak in some bass and knowledge, right? Right?
Yeah, yeah, that's... Some of my best memories of Bassmaster were watching him as a kid.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Those mega bucks.
Come on. Unreal.
You remember that one where he won it and Klun was finished second, but the way the holes were laid out, Nixon was right in front of Klun in each hole.
Yeah.
And it would pan to whoever which one had won. And Klun said he noticed, well, Nixon maybe would be up a little bit shallower in one hole. He'd back off a little deeper. God, that was good TV.
It sure was. And then the same thing happened with Nixon and Roland Martin in a mega box too. So,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Lots of history there, man. But dude, speaking of history, there's a big history of whiskey in bass fishing way back from our buddy Aaron in the Crown Royal days, yeah. And now to you, resurging the brown liquor of Bassin, and that's a tin cup whiskey. We thank you for that. And for those that don't know, every week Luke Foley, the tin cup whiskey gypsy, comes on here and he gives us a tin cup whiskey word of the week. And when you hear that word, take a sip and sip whatever you want. It could be a nice black coffee. It could be ice cold Coca-Cola or aqua fresh water or tin cup whiskey. But whatever you drink, take a sip and sip responsibly, right, Luke? Luke?
Yes, absolutely.
What is the tin cup whiskey word of the week this week?
Well, with tonight's guest, and I've given him some bottles of tin cup. He's a fan. and I'm a fan of his. It can only be one word tonight, Pat.
Okay.
We've already said it. But the word tonight is general.
General. So, wow. Okay. Everybody going to get saucy.
I'm not planning on, starting work right at 8 tomorrow.
Okay. And I want to tell you, Bass Galaxy, if anybody gets in trouble as far as being late for work, now stay at home. Stay put if you're playing the tin cup whiskey game with whiskey. But I'm going to put this out there. If you need Luke Foley to call you in late or sick, he will do that. Direct message Luke Foley directly or direct message the Straycast Instagram. We will have Luke Foley call your employer. So this is a thing. We just made it a thing. It's thing for Thursdays now. It's called Luke Calls the Employer because he got somebody sauced off a word we're talking about. Yeah.
Thursday morning.
Yeah. It's a Thursday morning Foley extravaganza.
Yeah, I'll get some doctor slips. We'll be fine.
Bud, we love you. Thanks for what you do for the show. And most importantly, thanks for what you do for the sport of bass fishing. Bass Galaxy. Oh, wait. Before we go, Luke, let's remind everybody, like and share the live Facebook feed for your chance to win a power pole swag bag giveaway, as well, another chance, two prizes, Tin Cup Whiskey Extravaganza Pack. It's all you got to do. Like and share the live Facebook feed. I'm Pat Renwick. That's Luke Foley. Put the power poles down. We got the General. Larry Nixon coming at you live, like a live wire. Peace.
Big ass.
Peace.
This is the mountain, and this is Mountain Whiskey. Unspoiled, untamed, forever wild. There's no safety net, no way down. Up here, it's just man and the mountain and his tin cup. Tin Cup Whiskey. Mountain Whiskey.
Want to know the difference between PowerBait and other soft plastics? Ask the fish. Berkeley scientists have thousands of flavors tested on thousands of fish. Natural. Man-made. Every bait that's ever hit the water. No matter the shape, size, or color, PowerBait is the only one that has scientifically proven. Fish bite and will not let go.
Welcome back. This is Stray Cast. We're the glorified version of a Bass and Talk show. We're throwing some shade properly with Waterland Shades, and we're happy to bring you right now bass fishing legend. And I got to get used to saying this. 2023 Bassmaster Elite Series Angler, Bass Galaxy. Give it up for the one and only, the General. Mr. Larry Nixon. Yes! You are a bad man, but jamba. Look at you, sitting in a bass and water sled, doing a bass fishing talk show. Wow, how you doing, Larry?
I'm doing really good. We get all this stuff organized here.
Hey, I mean, you're sitting there in the in an old boat there, in a new boat, I should say, in the old boat. But that's a good look. I mean, I like it.
It's actually my old boat. I sold to my buddy.
Okay, all right. So your old water sled, she isn't missing you then. You just go visit her every once in a while.
Well, I actually go fishing in it occasionally.
Man, you, Larry, I just can't tell you how happy we are to have you back in the Bassmaster Elite Series in 2023. What a special thing. It really is. And again, we'll get into more of the season later, but it means so much to so many fans of the sport to see someone of your iconic stature reemerge into the Elite Series. And Bass Galaxy, please give it up again for Larry Nixon and his reemergence. The reemergence of the General. Yikes. Yikes, bud. 77, Larry. 77, you started this journey in Florida, didn't you? Bassin.
Yes.
Bassin.
January 77.
Yeah. And now, pretty much, I guess you can call it January, beginning of February of 2023. Boom. Right back where you started. Right back.
That's right. And I've been amazed, you know, at the response I've got from all the old bass fans that, you know, really didn't keep up with me while I was gone. And now all of a sudden they're all totally excited that I'm coming back to fish bass. And I am, too. I don't know if I can compete with these kids or not, but I'm going to do it the best I can.
Yeah, I think that you'll be able to. And I got to tell you, there is a lot of eyeballs on you. And everything is positive about Larry Nixon coming back to the Elite Series. What does that do for your mental psyche? What does that do for you mentally coming into the 23 season? It's got to make you feel amazing. Well,
you know, it's got me all fired up, Pat. I mean, I'm just I'm excited about getting to fish bass. The last two or three years, I really haven't. I'm not going to say I haven't given it my all, but, you know, I decided I was going to have fun. And that's the way I've been doing it the last 2 or 3 years. And then when I got back in the elites, I thought, you know what, I better try to straighten up here and get tough again and see how it goes this year.
Hey, so the offer still stands, like I told you when I saw you over at the Hall of Fame there. If you know, when you're bringing in those 48-pound bags and you need a bag, boy, I'm going to carry them for you. I'm your brawn, Mr. Nixon. I'm going to be your brawn.
I better have one. If I've got a 20-pound bag, I'm going to have a marshal carrying it. You can bet on that.
No, well, no, just hire me. I will be your brawn, brawn bagger. That's what you'll call me.
I'll be yelling for help.
We hope you bring in 20-pound satchels often, man. And hey, I got to say, before we kick in this, Larry, thanks for taking time on a Wednesday. I know you usually are doing a little poker playing, aren't you?
Yeah, this is my get-together night with all my buddies. And in fact, I'm here now. This is what we call the palace.
Oh, the palace. This is the palace. Now I get it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm here.
Okay. And the boys, they're not mad that the Bass Galaxy took you away from them tonight, are you? I know it's a big deal to meet for poker.
They're in the room right next door. And every now and then, one of them sticks his face in this window right over here and just smiles at me.
As long as it's only their face they're sticking in the window right there. You know what I mean, Mr. Nixon? That's what I'm saying. But welcome back. Hey, your dreams were your ticket out. Remember that show? Welcome back, Cotter.
Yes.
That's right. The elites, you're back. Your dreams were your ticket out, whatever that means. I don't know. Hey.
What? It means after a long hiatus, I'm back.
There it is. Exactly. Hey, in 92, you were the first $1 million winner in bass fishing when pretty much tournaments were 17,000, 20,000, 30,000. And you started in 77. That's quite an accomplishment. Yeah, has that ever sunk into you how big of a deal that is, Larry?
At that time, yes, it did. It was pretty amazing. I never dreamed that I'd ever win $1 million fishing for bass, you know. And when they went to the Mega Bucks format, now I can't remember whether that was number two or number one or number three or what it was. I know it was Ray made a monster deal out of it when I broke the $1 million mark.
Yeah, it was 92. It was, and the picture we saw on social media the past few days too of you and Ray handing you the check. And then of course Denny comes along and does it next. And the purses had grown at that time. And people were fishing for just boats and bags of worms and a couple grand. And you came up with $1 million bassing. Wow.
Well, I really kind of think that's when people really realize they could make a living fishing. I mean, you know, we never dreamed that we could survive. I was just fishing from tournament to tournament at one time. And, you know, then when I won the Bassmasters Classic, it was like, wow, holy cow. You know, everything's going to be gravy from here on. And even then, you know, it was still a struggle, but back then, we had more sponsors available, and the industry was booming. But still, you know, that somewhere right in that area is when people realized that, hey, I might make a living fishing. And people started getting in. The tournaments were full, and it was a fun time.
Yeah. Would you consider that the golden age of bassing, those years? What is the golden age of bassing? What years to you, Larry?
Well, it's different for everybody, but them were the golden years because the trolling motor companies, the boat companies, the outboard companies, they were booming. I mean, it was really a fun time because there was so much sponsor money available. And if you was a winner, it was easy to get sponsors. And, you know, to me, that was the good times.
Yeah. And I think you hit it on the head. It's different to everyone what the golden years of bassing are, because being bass fishing freaks that all of us are that are watching this show or follow you or follow bassing, it's important to us in our progression of the sport to basically come into it when we're supposed to, if that makes sense. And it's important to us here at Stray Cast to carry on the legacy of you legends. And it's great that you're going back to the elites, and so many young anglers that, and no disrespect by this, Mr. Nixon, there's so many young anglers that don't know everything about you, that don't know the whole Larry Nixon story. And now they get to learn it and be inspired all over again. You're going to inspire a whole new group of anglers. That's great. It's amazing.
Well, I sure hope so. You know, I look at a lot of these kids and I'm like, oh my gosh, how did they get so good at 25 years old or 23 and coming right out of college and jumping into tournament competition? And let me tell you something, they are good. They're not just fly by the seat of their pants. They're good. They catch them every tournament.
Yeah, no snubs.
And look at, you know, he just catches them all the time. And there's so many new ones coming on, it's going to be hard to stay up with them, but I'm going to do my best.
Yeah, I think you're going to do just fine. I want to run a couple stats by the whole Bass Galaxy for those that don't know. And I also want to reiterate them to you, Mr. Nixon, as some reassurance in case you don't know just how amazing you have done at BASS. Okay. this is crazy. So basically you have fished 113 BASS tournaments. Okay. 18 wins. You've had 17, you've been in 17 cups, 17 Forest Wood Cups, 25 Bassmaster Classics. Of course, you won the 83 Classic. You've been an Angler of the Year, BASS, 80-82. And again, the first $1 million winner at BASS. Now, get this. This is something we do here. And once you win your Elite Series tournament, we'll have you back on the show for the interview this year. But we probed Ronnie Moore for this information. Now, get this. Check this out. You have won, all right, at BASS, $1,637,992, Larry. Now, here's the cool part. You've caught 7,563 pounds of bass at Bass. That's a lot. That's a lot. All right. Now, check this. Andy, you got to compute it. What is each bass worth dollar-wise per pound that Mr. Nixon catches?
So per pound,
yes,
he's making $216.57.
$216.57. An LB each pound of bass you catch. What do you think about that?
I've never went into it that deep, but that's pretty amazing, really, to be honest with you.
See, you have to carry that with you going into the 23 season. That's like each 4 pounder, those 20 pound bags, you know, it's $4,000 a bag. And then at the end, it's going to be $100,000.
Yeah, let's hope that figure goes up.
Exactly. But that's amazing. So get this, with the number of how many tournaments was it again that Mr. Nixon had fished, Andy?
261.
261 total career tournaments. You're a derber. Wow. Wow. And if we take that by your total money won accumulative,
yep.
How much, what is it per tournament, Andy?
Hold on. It is $6,257.83.
$6,200-something per tournament, Larry. What's up with that?
Well, that's what I call being real consistent. That's all I can say about that, Pat.
Wow. I mean, how does that make you feel to hear those stats? Seriously.
Well, you know, it makes me feel good because consistency was always the name of my game, and you just win when the opportunity presents itself. And, you know, the whole goal to me is to make a check in every tournament. And hopefully be in position to win two or three times a year. And, you know, back, let me tell you something, back in the 60s or, well, actually the 70s and early 80s, if you didn't win a tournament every two or three years, you were losing money bad.
I'll bet.
So, you know, my goal back then was to at least win one every 2 years. And fortunately, it kind of worked out that first 7 or 8 years. But that was the only way you could survive at this game. You couldn't survive on credit cards back then.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that, Larry, because I have some important wins, and I, if I may say this selfishly, important wins to me as a bass fishing fan. And I assume that they're important wins to a lot of bass anglers out there. And the first one I want to talk to you about is your first win ever. Now, you came into this game in 77 with BASS, and your first win came in 78. And I mean, you didn't waste much time. You didn't waste much time. The old Bass Champs. Remember winning the Bass Champs in 78?
Very well.
Yeah. Tell me about that tournament. Take me back to the 78 Bass Champ victory.
Well, that particular tournament was in Louisiana, down on the coastline, somewhere down there. And we were fishing down a river.
Yeah.
And I do know that there wasn't a lot of places to fish because of the watercolor and all that. And you had to get away from the, what I call the river current itself per se. And there was a hole in an island up there, and that's where a lot of us wound up going. And I think Rick Klun may have been leading that tournament the first day. And me and Rick was talking that night, and he said, man, they biting that worm, ain't they? And I said, well, but buddy, I threw that worm the next day, and I wound up winning the tournament.
Oh gosh, that's amazing! And I remember that tournament too. Reading back or looking back, I can't remember if I was watching it or following it when it happened. Certainly reading in Bassmaster, but the guys were catching flounder too when they were flipping. Oh. Yeah, I think it was Blake Honeycutt might have been on a flounder pattern.
If you wasn't away from that river, you could catch anything in the world. And, we didn't have Google. We didn't have all that stuff back then. All of us had a paper map, and you could see that little lake sitting inside that island. I do remember that. It's just a matter of how to get in it. And, of course, we were all river rats back then, and we all figured out how to get in that little hole where that water was clear and had a lot of grass and a lot of cypress trees and, you know, just good bass fishing area.
Yeah, just looking real bassy. I think it's great that Klun was drilling you about the plastic worm, too. And then you end up going smash them on it.
Yeah, that's right. Me and Rick has had a great career together. You know, he finished first in my first Bassmasters Classic, and I was second. And yes, ever since then, he's been, a partner in crime because he helped me get a good sponsor in 78 that kind of kept my career going at that time because I was still struggling, you know, even after finished second in that first classic. And we've always been a big part of each other's career and fishing. I don't know that he's ever told me a lie, and I know I've never told him one.
That's outstanding. That's a cool friendship. And I can't wait for you to see the friendship. I mean, I know you've always been friends, but even more rekindled this year on the Elite Series. That's going to be pretty special, quite frankly.
Yes, it really is. And meeting a lot of these new kids that I really don't know personally. I've met some of them. I've been around Brandon quite a bit at a Toyota tournament. And I've met a few of them just in passing here and there. But it's exciting to me just to get back in that game with some of them boys that's fishing bass right now and doing really well.
Do you feel intimidated at all? I mean, you're a legend and an icon of the sport. Is there any fear or intimidation whatsoever in you right now, Mr. Nixon?
Absolutely not.
Yes. Yes. You're a beast. You're a beast.
I know I can't cast as good as they can, and you know they put that bait in a lot of places where I can't put my lure, but that has never been my style anyway. I've guided on Toledo Bend so many years. We didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
And them guys skipping them jigs out of sight under boat docks. Nah, forget that. That ain't going to happen. This guy.
Hey, you know why? Because you don't have to have any fear, because you're not a one-time, not a two-time, not a three-time, but a four-time Megabucks champion. Like, who does that? Who? Why are you so good at Megabucks? And why is that not a thing anymore?
Well, I can't answer why it's not a thing anymore, but it suited my forte so good, because I could look at a bank or a grass line, and I could tell you, now there's a bass lives right there. And I would spend my time trying to catch that bass. My goal was to catch one bass out of every hole. And it worked out really good in that format. And, rather than trying to fish the whole hole, I just rode around, found a good area. And I said, okay, one lives right there. And that's where I'd fish.
You just milked it good.
The other thing was, that's $100,000.
Yeah.
Nobody made $100,000 back in them days. The Classic wasn't even close. And I got fired up over them big money tournaments.
Yeah, it really did. It boiled your blood. And I was watching a clip, and Ray Scott said, Larry, you didn't even need to catch him that good. That's what he said to you.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing days. I wish they'd bring that format back, because it was such a unique format. It was really made for television. And, they had so good a coverage on each and every fisherman in that top 10. And it really showed everything. And it actually, that one big fish I caught in that one Megabucks tournament, it put me on the map, sure enough.
Yeah, everywhere. No, everybody knows Larry Nixon on the Bassmasters because of that 88 Megabucks. How great is that? What an iconic moment in the sport of bass fishing, and you're in it. It's you. See, Larry Nixon.
Yeah, that was pretty neat. I can't tell you how many people I run into at sports shows and stuff, even to this day, that says they'll never forget that fish. Oh, my gosh, did you see the size of that bass?
Why has nobody made a remix? Andy, let's get the band together, and we need to make a remix having Mr. Nixon going, oh, my gosh, did you see the size of that bass? With a cool beat behind it. I think that's what we need. All right, we're going to...
I really enjoyed you sending that out today, because every time I tapped on it, to try to put it on my page, I'm not very good at that stuff. Well, I'd have to watch myself catch that fish.
It's great. And I mean, just watching that big old bucket head come up and rest waller in there. Oh, it was amazing. Amazing. Hey, you know how else I know you're a badass, Mr. Nixon? You want to know how I know?
Tell me.
Okay. Well, I thought you'd never ask. Hey, you won a Bassmaster Classic on the freaking Ohio River. Like one of the worst places, one of the most god-awful places to fish in the world. Now, believe me, I live in South Chicago. This is an armpit of the nation, probably worse than the Ohio River area. But, I mean, wow, you won the Bassmaster Classic on the Ohio River. Amazing. Amazing. Tell me about that tournament. What sticks out most to you about that BMC?
Well, we had an invitational up there, if you'll remember, a few months prior to that tournament.
I did.
And I actually won that invitational too. But prior to that, I don't know, 2 or 3 months, I went up there. And back then, I had to free fish. I didn't know nothing about nothing. So I'd hook up, me and Tommy Martin would go up there and practice for 2 or 3 or 4 days. And, it was so bad. I said, oh, my gosh, this is going to be the worst tournament I've ever fished in my life. If I can just catch 2 or 3 a day, man, I might win this thing. And that's exactly what I did. I didn't catch much at all that first tournament. And I won it with like 18 pounds. And in fact, I won it where I didn't even practice.
Wow.
I didn't give up everything I practiced, and I just run into a creek and put my trolling motor down, fished all day, and wound up winning that tournament. And then when we went back for the Classic, of course, you know, I knew how tough it was going to be, and it wasn't going to change much. It's the Ohio River.
Yeah.
And, you know, I said, the way to win this thing is do what I like to do. And that was put on a plastic worm and fish the bank, because them Ohio River fish, they were shallow. They wasn't hard to figure out. They were all in a foot of water or less than 3 foot for sure. And, you know, it was just a matter of making pinpoint casts and working the cover right. And, you know, I got lucky and won two in a row. That's all I can say.
I mean, pretty amazing. And again, historical Bassmaster Classic victory. Let me throw you for a loop here. We talked about some victories that really stick out, but I want to talk to you about two specific tournaments. In fact, they're your worst Bassmaster tournaments of all time, Larry. And the first one, of all places, the Arkansas Central Open or Invitational, Pine Bluff over there. You can't, 211th, 1995. What happened? What was there? There's got to be a reason for this.
Well, the only thing I can think of is I suck on rivers.
Okay.
I ain't going to lie to you one bit. I fished that Arkansas River a lot. And, you know, it's one of them places that if you don't just make up your mind and go fish the dirt somewhere, you're probably not going to catch a whole lot of bass out of that river. And that was one of them that really, really throwed me a curve. I just did not get on no fish. I didn't, you know, I didn't expect to catch any when things started. And sure enough, I didn't. I mean, I was bad. And there was two or three other events that I really thought I was going to catch them, and I didn't catch nothing. And in fact, I think there's been two Bassmaster tournaments over the years that I totally zeroed in all 3 days.
Oh, wow. Is the other one happened to be the one in Oklahoma, the Oki Invitational, the 100 or the 148th place?
No.
Okay.
Should be West Point Lake.
Oh, I didn't even see that one. Yeah, I didn't even. What's that, and, mister? Say it again. I cut you off.
I zeroed all 3 days in that one. The one in Oklahoma, I didn't care. I was so cold. I really didn't care if I caught one. That's how bad that one was.
Okay.
Well, you know, I started out with 8 rods and reels, and at 9:30, they was all froze solid. So there you go.
Wow. Yeah, you don't like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, in 91, you were already on your way to making a million anyway. You're like, I'm Larry Nixon. I'm going to order a pizza. Screw you guys. I'm going home.
If somebody would have invited me in to warm up by the stove, I'd have carried my rods in there and warmed up.
Hey, we always talk about it on this show. You kind of judge a derber by their over or under 50th place finishes. And quite frankly, you don't have many over 50s in your history. You don't. They're all under 50, which is evident by your record we revealed here. It's pretty dang nuts, man. Hey, let's talk a little bit about the 23 season. All right, let's get into it a little bit. Again, the anticipation across the board for this 23 season is probably more than I've ever seen any anticipation of a Bassin season with the new opens format. Then of course the elites coming up, everybody's excited. And I want to ask you, are you doing the standard type preparation things, Larry, as you have through the years? You approaching it different? Are you ready to go? Are you packed up? Where are you at right now?
Well, I'm slowly working on tackle. Right now, I still don't have my boat ready for next year, so I've got 4 more weeks to get my boat out of Ranger and over to rigging and wrapping. And I don't even have my jerseys ready yet. So
oh, wow.
All here. It's been so hectic. It's we're in kind of a slow time right now. So you getting commitments from people on sponsorship and various things right now has been a little bit slow.
Okay.
And you know, I'm doing the best I can. I'm not going to worry about all that. I'll be ready to go fish that tournament. I still kept my Ranger from last year, and it's sitting at the house if I have to use it. So I'm ready to go, but I want to get my new rig, and that way I can get serious.
Sure. I gotcha. And who are your sponsors? Who are you working with in the 23 season, Larry?
Well, primarily it's Ranger, of course, and Bass Pro Shop. I'm still up in the air on a few things. Power Pole, I've got Power Pole going, and everything's good there. You know, Lowrance has been with me forever and ever, and I've got all my equipment in to re-rig my new boat when it gets here. And as far as paying sponsors coming across the board right now, there's not many of them. So I'm still there is a lot of things up in the air. You know, I'm still trying to work with Yamamoto, but they changed owners. So that's a little bit iffy on whether that's going to happen or not. You know, I don't understand this new generation at all. And I'm definitely not a good one at emails and talking back and forth on a computer or telephone. Sure. I like to pick up a phone and call somebody. So it makes it much slower for me to get deals worked out.
Yeah, I get you. And it must be frustrating to some point.
You don't even want to know how frustrated I've been.
I mean, all the credentials that you have, and I'm being serious, all the credentials that you have in this sport, the accolades received, and you're having trouble procuring monetary sponsorships. It's freaking nuts, dude.
Well, you know, sometimes you get old and you just don't, your value is not there for the kids. That's the way I look at this. I have milked the gravy off this thing. I don't have anything to be ashamed of. And, I don't know how to do things like all these kids do, all this social media and Instagramming and TikToking and all this stuff. That's way outside my education level.
hey, here's the deal. All right, first off, only type of electronics that the general needs to focus on is your Lowrance units, okay?
That's right, and I can run that GPS, and I can look at that thing. I can forward facing sonar. I can do all that stuff.
Yeah, you can find them off the bank. We know that about you, General. Now, here's the other deal, man. My good friend, Seth Fighter, one of the smartest things that gentleman ever said was catching fish fixes everything
for That's right. For
a professional angler. And pretty much you seem at the mindset where you're going to catch fish. So let's pray to the Lord above that comes to fruition. And the dollars just start rolling in for you in 23. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm hoping. You know, if I get off to a good start, and actually you ain't even got to have a good start. Just hang in there. You know, if you can keep your name up near the top, eventually things are really going to break loose. And because it's going to be a monster year for somebody. Bass Pro Shops is going to, I'll be at the Classic working up there for them, and it's just kind of frustrating. Something hadn't popped open right now. But like I say, you know, we didn't know this till what, November?
Yeah.
I didn't know I was going to get the elites. I wasn't sure they were going to give me the invite. And it takes longer than that to get sponsorships lined up. And not only that, most of the budgets are already set in October.
I get it.
Across right now is somebody that's got a stash head back.
Yep, and that's what we need. We need a big boss hog type tycoon to come in and sponsor the general. That's what we need.
That's what we need. I need one boss hog and I'll be done. Yeah. I don't care about all the ones. You know, T&H, all them companies have been so good to me over my career. And like I say, the Power Pole people, they're just awesome. I just need somebody to step up and take that one spot on my boat wrap and take care of my entry fees for this year, and I'll be gone.
I've actually
got a here in Arkansas. The Arkansas Elite Welding guys are sponsoring me in my first event, so that entry fees paid.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. And again, we would be amiss, Larry, if we did not go back and mention the cool people at Power Pole who are throwing down a prize pack in your honor tonight. Give it up for Power Pole right now, Bass Galaxy.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, look at you.
I love them guys. They're just been incredible. I called one of them today just out of the blue, and I haven't really talked to them. I sent them an email, got all my equipment. And I picked up the phone and called one of them, and he says, "Hey, Larry, how's it going?" I said, "Wow, he's got my phone number."
Yeah, yeah, that's you. Probably deal with Casey, and we deal with Kurt on the I guess media side of things. But give it up for the people at Power Pole, and of course Casey and Kurt. Those guys are freaking awesome. Again, Bass Galaxy, and all you got to do is like and share the live Facebook feed. They're gonna send you out an amazing Power Pole swag bag prize pack in honor of the general. All right, but nine events, Larry. What is that going to do to you? Are you physically ready? Are you physically ready for nine events?
Well, I don't want to get into all my ailments, but yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, good. I mean, I know you're mentally prepared. I can see it, but I know I've followed your career. We've all read your file, and you've had some injuries. You've had some Bassin injuries. I mean, you even had some bait casting thumb injuries, for crying out loud.
Well, I don't really call it injuries. I call it wore out parts.
You need to earl them up. Put some oil in them.
I got two thumbs rebuilt. I got a rebuilt heart, got a rebuilt elbow. But other than that, I'm good.
Yes, you are the bionic man of Bassin. You're like Colonel Steve Austin.
Older too, so.
Yeah, General Austin. Amazing. $6 million man. You got to win $6 million before you're out of this thing now to live up to that. No way. Yeah, that's a lot. You could do it. Big payouts coming at you.
Yeah.
Now.
Means I got to win one or two.
Yeah. Just win like 40 at 100,000, then Andy will calculate it, and then we'll have the $6 million man. You know what I mean? That's all we got to do. Hey, what are you doing? Like, are you studying maps? Are you looking at what? How are you prepping for each individual lake?
Well, I've fished all these lakes, but the Sabine River, and yes, I've studied it pretty hard. And of course, I've watched all the shows and trying to get an idea where most of the fish have been caught in years past. A lot of that's history, but history is always pretty reliable about the areas that you really need to be in. And I've fished all the other lakes, Seminole, let's see,
Claire,
Santee Cooper. I fished all of them. So it's not like I've never been there.
Would it be safe to say that the two lakes that you're most intimate with in your career are Toledo Bend and Lake St. Clair, Detroit River area? It seems that you do really well.
Sam Rayburn, St. Clair has been really, really good to me. I know St. Clair is huge, and it's all a matter of getting in the right area. And, you know, hopefully I'll figure that out when I get there. I may pre-fish a couple tournaments. I really need to go down to the Sabine River and at least learn how to navigate that thing a little bit, because sure. I don't want to spend all my time stuck on sandbars. And, but anyway, that, you know, I'm, believe me, I've been working on it. I've got all my places to stay lined up, and, everything's going well. It's just a little bit slow.
You won at Claire, what, once with the Bassmasters and twice with FLW, right?
Right.
One of them was the lawn chair pattern, right? Weren't you throwing a fluke on a lawn chair?
I was actually throwing a fluke early in the morning a couple days, and then they kind of got off of it, and there got to be a little bit too much pressure, and I had found this lawn chair in practice. And I caught a 4-pounder off of it. And when I trolled over there to see what the heck I threw at, you know, I looked down and there's a 4-pounder sitting there. So I turned that up. I turned that other one loose, and the second day or third day of the event, I was struggling a little bit. I only had like 9 or 10 pounds at 10 o'clock. And I ran all the way around there to that lawn chair, and I had it GPSed, but I wanted to see it because I really needed to see how far I was away to fish it right. And I finally spotted it out there, and I made a cast with a trap and didn't get bit. And I made another cast and didn't get bit. And I had a tube rigged up, and I picked that tube up. I caught 9 in a row, and 3 of them were 4-pounders.
Yes. Wow.
Off a lawn chair.
Off a lawn chair. Yikes. Thank God that homeowner didn't tie that one down, right?
That's exactly right. It was hugging the sand, thank goodness, and it didn't move. In practice, and I went back there a couple, 4 or 5 years ago when we went back up there for a tournament, and naturally it's covered up in sand now, so it was gone.
Hey, maybe you'll find a new lawn chair or something even cooler this year at St. Clair. But yeah, good memories there of you and FLW kicking some butt there, that's for sure.
That was an awesome tournament. And, you know, the BASS tournament I won at St. Clair was pretty special, too, because I found this spot. I don't know that anybody in the world had ever fished it. And, in fact, I know they hadn't. The current was so bad you could barely hold on it. And I threw a marker buoy out when I first found it and to mark it, and the current was so strong the buoy went about 3 foot under the water. Roll as hard as I can, and I can see my buoy down there, and I get up there to it, and I'm standing there firing upstream, and about the third cast, I catch a 4, and the next cast, I catch one almost 4, and I said, oh, my God, I got to pull this up and mark it, you know, so I GPSed it, and I reached down with my rod and got my buoy back, and that night before the tournament, I took a gallon oil jug and took my I had an anchor in the boat back in them days. We didn't have power poles.
Right.
The deep they wouldn't have held anyway, but I put a 10-foot rope on that anchor, and when I come up on that little old spot, I threw that anchor out so it would float, you know, the current wouldn't mess with it, and that's where I wound up winning that tournament.
Unreal. Yeah, that's outstanding. It's nuts. Hey, I'm getting a text right now. It's from Steve Bowman. You ever heard of him?
Oh my gosh. Just ignore that text.
Yeah. Well, he's got there's a new set of rules. And apparently this only applies to you for the 2023 Bassmaster Elite Series. And I guess this is a curse or a blessing, Mr. Nixon. I don't know, but according to Mr. Bowman, you are only allowed to have 4 rods and reels on your deck the entire season. So 4 rods and reels and 4 lures. That's it.
That ain't just fine.
Okay. Well, why don't you tell, hey, Ginger, you want to pipe this up and let's do a little, Steve Bowman Bass Fishing Hall of Fame edition of, 3 on deck, 1 in hand. And you got to tell us what those rods and reel combos and baits are. Can you do that, Larry?
No.
Come on.
I can't do that right now because I don't know what's going on. But when that tournament starts, there will be about 4 on my deck and 25 in that rod box.
No, the Bowman says only 4 rods the whole year. You have to pick it now. 4 rods and reels and 4 baits.
I know 2 of the 4. There will be a Senko on one and a jig on one. So there you go. The other 2 will probably be some kind of a moving bait.
Something to wind and something to soak and something to flip.
That's right.
There you go, Steve Bowman. That's the best edition ever of Bass Fishing Hall of Fame. 3 on deck, 1 in hand. You're going to just attack them with the jig, the Senko, and a couple winders. Maybe topwater plug, right?
That's right. Maybe probably a chatterbait laying up there, and either a spinnerbait or a buzzbait or something of that nature.
I like it. I like your style. What's the all time favorite Larry Nixon buzzbait? What's your favorite
buzzbait?
Buzzbait.
Oh my! I throw a homemade buzzbait. I can't even tell you what it is. It's the same one Brian Thrift uses. I can tell you that.
I like it. Describe it to me. What's it like? What's the style like?
Well, it's like a Lunker lure, but it's got a little bit bigger blade on it, and the head is not very big where you can stick your toad or whatever your trailer is up inside the, you know, the head up inside the bait. And that way your hook sets right there where the two tails come together, and it'll just run straight as an arrow.
Nice. Okay. I like it. So you're into that buried head type frog skipping buzz bait deal.
One I like best. Yes. It seems like they eat it better. You don't lose as many fish. It's just the best one I found.
Are you, what's your setup for a buzz bait? What are you throwing a buzz bait on? Braid? Fluoro?
And I throw it on fluoro, usually 17 or 20 pound fluoro. Most of the time 17. I fish better with lighter lines, so I don't really get into the big stuff unless I have to.
Gotcha.
Florida, you got to have big line, and Santee or Seminole, you got to have big line. But most lakes we go to, I'm about a 14 or 17 pound test.
Gotcha. I like it. Hey, are you a graphite or a glass guy as far as wind and plugs? And
pretty much all graphite, just all because graphite.
Gotcha. Spinner baits, all that, yeah. Chatter baits, all graphite.
Everything's on graphite. I play with the actions and the lighter action for treble hooks and the stiffer ones for jigs and a medium one for a chatter bait. And I've always believed in giving the fish the bait, so I just let them have it a little bit longer, and I don't have no issues with it.
There you go. Wait, hey, what was the last fish you caught on a pistol grip rod? Can you remember?
No, I cannot.
What do you think year it was? Like, approximately. What do you think? How long has it been since you chunked a pistol grip?
I'm going to say it was probably 90.
Okay. Wow.
Neighborhood. I do not think I had a pistol grip when I caught that. Well, yeah, I would have. That was 80-something.
Yeah, you had the pistol grip. Yeah, the pistol grip pump, 88.
But it wasn't long after that till we started going to all straight handles.
Because I think in the footage from the 89 megabucks, you're flipping the deeper pads with what appears to be something that has a longer handle than a pistol grip, but it still only looks like a 6.5 foot rod or something.
That was exactly what it was. It was a 6'6" straight handle.
Yeah. I mean, and everybody remembers you as part of the inaugural Team Daiwa team. What did that, I mean, talk about the golden years in bassin, man. The Larry Nixon worm rod, that green rod, Larry, and then the silver. Like, man, that was a special stick, bud.
Yes, it was. And you'd be amazed at how many people I run into now tells me they still got that rod.
Oh, 100%.
It was pretty much indestructible. I mean, you had to really mess up to break one of them rods, and they had good reel seats in them. And, it was the Cadillac of rods back in them days.
It sure was. And Denny's flipstick and Rick's cranking rods. Oh, man. Gentleman George at the spinnerbait deal. Oh, man.
Water.
What's that? Yeah. Brower, yes, yeah, of course, the flipstick, 100%. Hey, I mean, but it's pretty cool. It's if anyone in bass fishing thinks of someone who has made a living, are simultaneously thinks of plastic worm fishing, that's you. That's you. You're the guy that made a living with a plastic worm. Everyone thinks of you that way. That's pretty amazing.
They pretty much know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, think about it. Whether it's been a Texas rig with a bullet weight, whether it's been the good old Senko, or whether it's been, the fluke, just a Texas rig fluke. You're very fond of that type of rig. It's what's the progression of that? Or let's put it this way. Let me put it this way. What's the first fish you ever caught on a Texas rig plastic worm?
Well, it was actually a jig head worm that had a weed guard on it.
Okay.
And it was rigged up straight, you know, like the way back there. And it was called a Gilmore worm.
A Gilmore.
And I put that thing on there, and I wasn't but about 17 years old, maybe 16. And I was over by a bridge over in Greers Ferry Lake, and I threw that thing up against that pier. And I knew it was 50 foot deep, but I threw it up against the pier and I just kind of letting it sink, and it sunk about 10 foot and stopped. And I caught my first bass that way. That was the very first bass I caught on a worm.
That's outstanding.
And about this story is when I went to Toledo Bend in January of 71, I got out of college and I went down there to just go down there for 3 months and make some money. I was broke. And I found out real quick that the only way I could catch fish every single day, even when they wouldn't bite and when the wind wouldn't blow, when nothing else would work, I could pick up a worm and catch bass. And that's why I figured out that, if you wasn't catching fish on a worm or a jig, you could be in real trouble if the weather changed. And so there you go. I just put my faith in them two lures when it's bad, and that's the way I spend my time.
I like it. What year was this about, Larry? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to say January of 71, 72. I went down there in 71.
Okay.
Because 5 years there before I ever fished my first bass tournament. And, I got it every year for like 5 years in a row.
What was your tackle, your preferred choice in that decade for plastic worm fishing and jig fishing? Like, what was your setup?
You didn't have a whole lot of choice. It was a 5.5 foot. I can't even think of the name of the rod right now at this time. It may have been an old Cotton Cordell rod, an Abu Garcia reel, and 14-pound test line. That was about all we had.
Gotcha.
And mostly Texas rigging. It didn't take long before I figured out that jig head worm would catch bass when nothing else would. And that's spinning tackle, of course. So it was just a matter of using a bait that I'm confident in. And, I'd throw top water early in the morning. I'd throw a spinner bait. I'd throw a buzz bait. But, buddy, when they quit biting that thing, I was real quick to grab something plastic or a jig, and then I'd finish my day.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. And so your deal in the 70s was like a 5.5 foot pistol grip. It was like a Cordell rod and an old 5000 Ambassador, something like that.
Yep.
Right. All right. Now let's,
that's right.
Let's move to worm tackle in the 80s. What was your weapons of choice in the 80s? I want to go through some decades here. What were you throwing in the 80s?
Well, it didn't change much at first till Daiwa came along, and I can't remember exactly when that was. It was probably 82, 83.
Okay.
And that's when we really got involved into the technology of reels and reel speed and the smoothness of a reel, what a rod was built for. And that was probably when that strain of fishing came along, and the technology really started taking off. I'm going to say it was 82 or 83. And we built that whole line of rods for Daiwa at that particular time. Dion and Guido, mainly Guido, had a spinning rod.
Sure.
And, we did the whole thing for them. And we spent, I can't tell you how much time we spent with engineers on reels, but it was a lot.
And people don't realize the significance of that. And you just pointed it out. Up until this point in bass fishing history, everything was Ambassador 5000s and pretty much 5.5 foot rods that were made of fiberglass or different varieties and weighed a ton and just were kind of like there. But in 82, 83, up to 85, the 80s, all that rod development started. Technique-specific rods were born at that time. Pretty cool, Larry.
That is absolutely right. Daiwa was, they were kind of, I'm going to call, they were the head dog back in them days as far as engineering was concerned. Now, everybody, as soon as they saw what Daiwa was doing, the other companies jumped in there and stepped up their game and started building good equipment, but Daiwa started that whole trend.
Yeah, pretty cool, pretty cool. And some of the best anglers in that era, obviously, sporting that team. Hey, what about the 90s? You popped in, you went away from Daiwa for a while. How did the tackle evolve now? What were you doing in the 90s?
Well, that's about when Berkeley was getting good. And, you know, there was a time there that we just have one sponsor.
Yeah.
And could only have plastic worms. And you'd have one sponsor that had rods and reels. And, you know, when them corporations started gathering up, we started to have to put our eggs all in one basket. So that's how we wound up, you know, with one company. Like Berkley had everything. And you know, right then at that point in time, I moved on. And in fact, Iowa kind of slowed down there for a little while.
They did.
Yeah, it wasn't us. It was, I don't know, the corporation went through a change over there, overseas. And
they started golfing more, Larry. That's what they did.
They did what?
They started golfing more. Golfing.
Okay. That's about like Chevrolet. You know, Chevrolet was into fishing, and then they started playing, what's that other sport, hockey?
Yeah. Poker.
Yeah. Soccer or something. I don't know, but they went overseas and quit sponsoring bass fishing over here in the United States, and it opened the doors for Toyota and Ford and other companies to move in. And I've seen all these changes. A lot of them I don't like worth a hoot, but I've seen them. And, you know, I know it's just a matter of time that something's going to change, and you just got to be ready for it.
Yeah, and I like how you're changing and evolving through your career to stay on top of the game. Yeah, what's the rods and reels that you're sporting now? Do you have a different jig rod, a different worm rod, or is it kind of like the same deal right now?
Well, I've worked with Dobbins Rods. They're a real good rod company, a top of the line. I've used terrible rods throughout my career, and I've had great ones. And when everything fell apart that year with Berkley, and I had to find a rod sponsor, of course, I called my friend Gary Dobbins, and I said, "Look, will you send me some rods?" And he said, "Sure, how many you need?" And I said, "Well, I just need this and this and this." And he was good to me, and you know, I've never asked for a whole lot. He actually paid my entry fee last fall into that open down there in Florida or in Texas. Yeah. So I could get back into the elites. And, you know, that's things like that I appreciate. I'm not going to jump companies now at my age for more money. I'm going to stay with old Gary because I like him. I love him. He's good to me and bailed me out when I was in trouble. And, yeah, that's just the way I am. I don't know. Sometimes money don't mean everything.
Right. And you're dancing with who brung you. Loyalty is a big deal.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I look at it. And he's got probably the best rods in the world. And as far, I broke one rod in the last 8 years, and I broke it on a rod cleat. It was my fault.
So tell us, like, if somebody wants to use the same rod and reel combo that Larry Nixon is using for plastic worms right now, whether it be a Senko or a Texas rig, what's that rod? What's your rod and reel combo right now? What are you working with?
My best rod and reel is a Dobbins 705 casting, 705C. It's actually called a Champion Extreme, 7 foot long, and I pair it with Johnny Morris's Platinum bait casting reel, and that's what I throw on just about everything. It's got to do with jigs, worms. Now, chatterbait, of course, I pick up a different rod. I throw a 7.3 that's it's called a 7.23. It's also a casting rod, but it's you know, it's not stiff.
Sure.
Doesn't have a lot of backbone. It gives the bait to the fish a little bit better. So to me, a different rod for everything that you do, that's the way I do it. But the 705, man, I use it for about everything.
That's the battle axe for you, the Dobbins 7.
When I'm going to have four rods on the deck, that's usually three of them.
See? Now Steve Bowman's happy.
Yeah.
So it's Rayburn or Bend that you're more intimate with. Which lake? Toledo Bend or Sam Rayburn?
Well, Toledo Bend is I know Toledo Bend very well, and it's one of the greatest lakes in the country. It's going through some tough times right now. They sprayed all that giant salvinia down there, and when they did, they sprayed buck bushes. They sprayed everything that lives on the bank, and it's going through some tough times right now, and Rayburn is way better as far as catching fish. And it's got a lot more big fish in it than Toledo does. Toledo's got some monsters, but you just don't have good cover in that lake, and it makes it a little bit tougher to fish. And I'd say right now Rayburn's on the high side of Toledo.
Which one have you spent more time on, you think?
Definitely Toledo Bend.
Okay, gotcha. I kind of figured as much. Yeah. Hey, you're in the truck a lot. Basically, you pro bass and man are glorified truck drivers, ain't it, Larry?
Yes.
I mean, you do it a lot. Are you a phone? Are you a talk on the phone guy? Are you a silent think guy? Are you a listen to the radio guy? What are you?
Well, most of the time I'm listening to country music on the radio unless there's a tournament going on, and then I'll have that phone synced up and I'll be listening to the fishing. And, you know, that's what I do for a living. So I watch and listen to a lot of fishing.
Yeah, I like it. I like that you're observing the sport. And I think when you're rolling along, you seem like a Merle or a Waylon type guy to me. Am I hitting it or no? Are you like a Merle Haggard, Waylon Jennings?
I'm going to say more of a Toby Keith.
Oh, okay. I see.
A little bit of uppity in my music, but I like the good old stuff that I understand the story.
I see. So you like the storytelling and the stomping.
That's right.
I like it. Of course, spoken like a true bass warrior right there. Yeah. Hey, are you a movie guy? You a movie guy? You sit down and watch movies?
Not very often. Sometimes I'll tape them so I don't have to watch commercials, but I don't go to shows or theaters, no.
See, I mean, like, do you have some classic movies that are your favorite? Like, what's the general's favorite movie? I'm curious what movie you love.
I'm going to have to say I love The Green Mile.
Oh, okay.
Josie Wales.
Yeah, oh, Outlaw Josie Wales. That's a
good... But I love it.
Yeah. Hey, when you see Overstreet on tour, ask him about the time that he clammered like a schoolgirl when Clint Eastwood was in the bar with him. Okay. Will you ask him that and tell him Pat from Stray Cast said to ask that?
I'll try to remember that.
Yeah. He clammered like a schoolgirl, James Overstreet, when Eastwood was in the bar.
He probably drooled a little.
He probably what, Larry?
Probably drooled a little.
He did. He said, remember when you were in that Western? And then Clint gave him his autograph. But anyway, it's going to be great that you get to bust these guys' chops now that you haven't seen in so long.
Yeah, I know it. I'm around Steve Bowman quite often.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's one of them guys. He was supposed to take a picture about a month and a half ago, and I wound up having to get my wife to take it at the house and send it into Bass.
That sounds like
so. He kind of had his head up his bottom, you know. He wasn't thinking just right. So I'm going to give him a hard time about that one.
Yeah, he was busy getting tased, is what he was doing. Have him show you the taser video. Yeah, it's amazing. Hey, let's talk about weaknesses in life. All right. While we're talking about getting tased, because that'll knock anybody down except Steve Bowman. But you said it here once on this show that cold water was one of your biggest weaknesses in bass fishing. Again, tell the people of the Bass Galaxy, why is cold water a weakness of yours?
Cold, muddy water is a weakness because I like to deer hunt when it's cold.
Now the truth comes out.
I just don't go out there fishing a lot when it's cold, and when it gets muddy and cold, I got a real problem. And so, you know, to get proficient at something, you have to deal with it, and I just don't. I'd rather stay home and go hunting.
Yeah, I mean, and now the truth comes out, and that's why you did so horrible at that Oklahoma Invitational, too. You're ready to go blast some deers.
That's exactly right. If I remember right, that was in November. I'm not 100% sure, but it was a late tournament, and it was cold.
It's all coming together. We're CSI in this shit, Ron, Larry. See how we're doing it? Telling you. Hey, what's a weakness in life? What's a weakness in life? Something that maybe is a character defect of the general that you could work on to become a better angler and a better person. I know.
That's a hard one. I really don't know that I have one other than I might not stay out there and practice 12 hours. I might quit at 10.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm, I don't know about a weakness other than hating computers and having to deal with that crap.
Yeah, that's a frustrating experience.
That just frustrates me to no end.
Yeah, it's and you know, just take it like this. The only thing that you need to know is just at this point is just going and looking at old tournaments and learning from that stuff. And maps and GPSs and the internet and the TikTok and the YouTubes and the Facebook and the and all that stuff. Like everything. You got to learn it all because you only have 3 weeks left and then you go on tour. So you got to learn all the social media before you go. Can you do that?
Boy, you're going to have to repeat that because I don't think I caught
it. No, I know. I was saying a lot of stuff. I was just being funny saying you got to learn all this stuff and it's There's YouTube, there's TikTok, there's Facebook, there's Instagram. Again, going back at it, all that matters is catching fish, really, right?
Hey, I don't want to know about all that other stuff. I want to catch fish. And I know how to do that. I can read water, and I don't have to look at a machine and plug it in and share it and do all this other stuff that just drives me nuts. I just want to go fish.
Yeah, and bass don't have computers, so they don't know what we're reading. You know what I mean? They don't know any of this.
You know, in bass, we got to have a camera back here that's operating every minute during the day.
Oh, yeah.
I may have to find somebody to charge that thing and put it on my boat every morning because I don't know how to do that yet.
Yeah, my friend Seth went through the same problem, and Matt Robertson. So just ask them. They know how to do it now. They know how to do it now. But, you know, the bass don't read the same books we do. They never have. They never have, Larry.
Yeah, I called Joey up yesterday, and I said, Joey, I think I've got a camera, and I know I've got one of them Yoltech poles. And I think Yoltech camera. I said, will that work? He said, yes, that'll work. You just need two chips.
You need a chip for the Yoltech. Oh, goodness gracious. And I'm talking about the largemouth bass, not reading the books, not BASS. That's what I'm saying. But do you think, hey, you've been around this game for a long time. Do bass really have memories? Do they have memory, actually?
I think so, yes. I think they get accustomed to lures. And I'm going to just give you one little quick scenario. I had a stock pond up in Beaver Ranch there that I put about 25 bass in, and I tagged about half of them, maybe a little bit more, and I tagged them. And after about a year, my daughter couldn't catch one out of there no more. She said, something happened. They all died, you know. And every now and then she'd catch one by accident, reeling a minus one 90 mile an hour or something. And I thought all of them had died because it would get down. It didn't have a foot of water in it in the summertime. And I decided I'd had all that pond I wanted. I played with it trying to get it to hold water, and I'd just give up. So I said, all right, I'm going to cut a hole in the dam and drain it and take all the fish out and turn them loose. Why, there was my 20-something bass still in there. They had never raised one minnow. And all of them were still tagged, but you couldn't catch one to save your neck.
Wow.
So I know they've become accustomed to what she fished with. And, you know, they just didn't bite it no more.
Interesting. Does that go away? Do you think it goes?
I hauled them fish over to another pond, turned them all loose.
Wow. I mean, crazy how they get conditioned. Do you think that, you know how that a lot of professionals say that the like lures like jigs and worms, the non-obtrusive or obstructive lures, the bass are more likely to bite over and over, where winding plugs and in spinnerbaits, they get accustomed to those more quickly? Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, and that's...
I think that's why reaction fishing is so important. You know, it's... like they don't have a chance to look at it. It's they got to react one way or the other, either run or fight or eat, one or the other. And, you know, that's how I fished a lot of my career, was just trying to trigger strikes rather than catching feeding fish, because And one thing I do know, they feed good on Monday through Friday, and Saturday and Sunday, they do not feed.
Isn't that right? They just don't.
That's a fact.
I read that in Bassmaster. I know that. Hey, I got a couple texts here. First off, you were right, Larry. Gentleman George, we couldn't get it figured out. He's at the hunt cap, and you're like, he's going to zoom in? And yeah, it's not happening. But he has a message. He has a message for you. And
oh, real?
He does. And it says, yes, it says, Larry, you're one of the best that ever came down the pipeline. And he's going to be watching you at every tournament.
And, oh, my.
Yeah.
Thank you, George. I appreciate that. I could never hold your choir bills. I can tell you right now, because you was the very best at dragging stuff around on one log for 3 days and catching 30 pounds.
Right? I mean, and hey, it's kind of intimidating too. He's like, you're one of the best that ever came down the pipeline, but I'm going to be watching you every tournament. You know, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You guys have been in some trouble together.
That sounds like my old buddy.
Now here's a cool one. My uncle Denny Brower, everybody's uncle Denny Brower. He texted this in about you when he saw you were coming on the show here tonight, and he caught a big old bucket today. He sent me a picture here. I'm gonna blow this up here for the people at home. I'm holding that up there, and then I kind of show you. He caught a big old bucket head today. I mean, that's a chopper. And here's what Denny said to you. He said, Larry, this is the man that has always been a threat to win any tournament he entered. His skill level truly overcomes his age. I wish him nothing but the best on the Elite Tour. I think I may be jealous a little bit. All the best to you, my buddy, Larry.
That's pretty awesome.
Wow. I'm going to forward you this text, okay? Because I want you to have it. All right?
Yeah.
Yes. It's been
a special person, you know. He still fishes a lot there on Hempstead, and he's a dandy. Did you see that mountain lion he got this year?
I did. He sent that. It's like a dream come true when Denny Brower sends us Christmas blessings and also sends us pictures of big kitty cats he kills and giant bass. It's amazing. It's like a dream come true. And yes, I saw it. It was as big as him.
Yeah. He had to lay down on the side of a slope and have the guides drag it up just for a photo.
That's outstanding. Hey, you emerge into the next chapter of your career, Mr. Nixon. And we wish you, of course, the best at this season and the best in everything you do in life. But I want to ask you now, you coming in here to the 2023 season, do you have any advice for the rookie anglers just starting to compete in the Elite Series? Now, you're not a rookie. You're a legend going in. So we're not going to say that, even though it's your first year back. But I'd like you to give some advice to those rookies of the Elites, like your Cooper Gallants and such. And also, the Opens guys that are fishing all nine. It's a struggle year. Give them some derby advice, would you?
Well, it's just fishing. I will tell them that. And for them that's fishing the Elites, be nice to Larry. Don't just go out there and wear me out this year. Because let me tell you, them rookies coming in, they're good. I know how good they are. And, you know, the biggest advice is don't be intimidated. Just go fishing. That's all it is fishing. And when it all boils down to figuring out what's going on every day, that was one of my biggest strengths, was figuring out the daily pattern, you know, because that pattern may not, the way I caught them yesterday might not mean nothing tomorrow. And I don't know. That's just one of them things. I didn't worry about it. I just kept on fishing until I figured out why in the heck they wasn't biting. And if they'll just keep their heads up and just go fishing and don't get to fighting the clock. I mean, you can't fight that clock. You think about it, but if you get to fighting the clock and getting in a hurry, you ain't going to do no good. And that's about all I can think of.
I love it. Don't fight the clock. Don't fight the clock when you're bassing. Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, because that'll beat the snot out of you.
You get into, you know, the longer you go without catching anything, the bigger the hurry you get into, and usually that's a kiss of death.
Wow. Yeah, pretty good stuff, Larry. And, Bass Galaxy, give all your bassing energy to the General Larry Nixon right now for his well-being, his safety, and his victorious, we'll say it now, victorious 23 season. Pretty cool.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks for coming on the show again, Larry. We appreciate you taking your time, bud.
Thank you. I believe I'll go find me a cold one and get this frog out of my throat.
I think that's what you need. But before you go, we have to, Andy, can you send me the power poll winner? And before we go, we're giving away a lucky power poll swag pack because of you, Larry Nixon. And this is going to a lucky member of the Bass Fishing Galaxy, Andy the Ginger Ninja. Eric Cullen. Yes.
I might know him.
Do you know him?
I might. Where's he from?
I don't know this. It's on the book face. That Andy sent it. He's from Saskatoon.
Nope, I don't know him.
I don't even know where I just said. Hey, but Larry, I can't wait to see you on the 23 season. Best of luck. Best of luck. Bass Galaxy, give it up again. That's the General Larry freaking Nixon. Peace. Go get a cold one.
See ya.
I love it.
I'll see you in Florida.
Yeah, bud. We'll see you there. Heck yeah. It's Larry Nixon. Andy, that's Larry Nixon. Yeah, he's the General. Wow. I like it. I really like it. And I learned a lot from Larry Nixon. And feel like a kid whenever I talk to these guys. Do you feel the same way I do? Yeah. When these guys come on, or like when you're doing your test, Sandy, before the show with them, and don't you feel like a kid?
Very much so.
It's
a weird still.
Yeah, it's a pretty,
I mean, even after 8-9 years, it's still weird.
It's a pretty cool feeling, man. Hey, we got one more prize to do, don't we? Okay. What do we got?
The tin cup one.
No, the tin cup whiskey.
Yeah, 1 second.
The Luke Foley fun pouch. That one's a fun pouch from Tin Cup Whiskey.
1 second.
Pop. I know. It was an abrupt.
Yeah.
Right there.
There you go.
Boop. Ba-da-da-da-da. Ba-da-da-da-da. Oh, he's this guy's an Irishman. Yeah. I know him. He might be related to Dan Quinn.
There you go.
From Rapala, but he's not. His name is Jamie Daly. You won the Tin Cup Whiskey. Fun pouch. Compliments of Luke Foley and, of course, Tin Cup Whiskey. Hey, James, our guest, our potential guest, hasn't got back to us yet for next week.
It should be a good one.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna hound him tomorrow. See what he's doing. You know what I mean? See what he's doing. See what he's doing out there. Hey, James, it's been a wild time, man. See what he's doing. You know.
Ooh.
Yeah. I like the loop.
No, I don't like the loop.
Why is it was the remix version.
Hold on. There we go. Sorry.
It's the remix version.
Give me a second.
Do you know the funky reggae?
Yeah, I'm trying. But
Schlapper the Brish. Andrew Ellenberger.
I know.
When's the next Into the Great White opens?
Next month.
Oh.
Once a month. We're going to do that.
Oh.
Because they're getting ready to travel and...
Gotcha.
So.
Ah! We got some good guests coming. My friend.
Yeah, good night.
Yes, I got it. There it is. Hey, Straycast would not be able to bring you the cool people of the Bass Galaxy that we do without the folks and, of course, Powerful. And thanks for them forking out tonight. And, of course, to Tin Cup Whiskey. Same. Thanks for your prize packs tonight to the people of the Bass Galaxy. Omnia Fishing. Check them out. OmniaFishing.com. All kinds of good stuff there. Crestliner. We float on Crestliner. Tin Soldiers. beat the snot out of that thing. Abu Garcia and Berkeley? What? That's all I know. That's all I ever known is Berkeley Tri-Lane. You don't want a mind change? Bias and Galaxy? Hey, I'm happy to be throwing shade, the proper kind of shade, with the Waterland Company right now. Waterland Shades. Hey, Zach, Coop, thanks, guys. We got the shades today. I can't wait to try them tomorrow and this weekend. Impulse Lithium, Bill and Darlene Weidler. Hey, don't skip a freaking beat. Get some Impulse Lithiums. Look for the Seth Fighter special coming soon. Dan Bravarni, we love you always. Half a spot. Rastafari. Halfaspotofficial.com. Check them out. Alpha Angler, home of the Vader. Sims Fishing in Ichikawa Hooks. Hey, and don't forget about Cal Sag. Season's coming up. 2023. I'm Pat Renwick. That's the Ginger Ninja. Thanks, Larry Nixon. Thanks again to all our sponsors. And most importantly, thanks to you, Bass Galaxy. I bid you peace. Peace. I bid you.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Dance.
No, just kidding. This is Pat. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Stray Cast on iTunes and leave a review. Tell us what you think. Any feedback is greatly appreciated. Thanks for listening.
Peace.